Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have a lot to talk about with Sam Mellinger in a short amount of time. Thanks to a local weatherman, but we're going to get to it right now. A lot of big winners this weekend, but really the guy that's captured the imagination of at least NBA Twitter and maybe most of the world. And I was disappointed to see many looks of confusion when I said Suns in four guy who won Twitter. Jay, do you know Suns in four guy?
I don't.
Well, oh, man.
You really don't?
No.
Come in here.
Okay.
Put everything that you come in here.
Okay, just stop everything?
We don't need the show.
I was about to send a tweet out saying Sam was on the show.
People know. If they're listening, that okay.
I'm coming in. I got to turn my mic.
Close it circle
right,
here.
Okay. I got to stop the music. And
right. Stop all that
I'm
stuff.
I'm coming in. All right. Okay, here we go.
So, this is a story about bad decisions. Anyway, you know that the Nuggets and Suns have been involved in a... Well, no longer, but they were involved in a semifinal series, right?
Oh, I know who this guy is.
Suns and four. Now you know who Suns and four.
Yeah, I saw.
Well, it's like Suns and four.
The high ground.
Right. So you've seen this, haven't you, Sam? You
know, no, okay, I think I'm watching it right now, the video.
This is Suns and four guy.
I didn't know he had a name.
As you can see, well, I named him. Yeah, and so you got the Jamal Murray jersey wearers from Denver. Look at this kid. And cheap shot, cheap punch, and now I'm just going to get the hell beat out of me after I threw a cheap shot, and he's got it all coming. Boom, boom, boom. And then he hits his friend over there, and then he's going to give him the old uppercut just in a second. Oh, yeah, you like that? I got a hold of his jersey. Bop! And then he might let him in. And then right when they're getting broken up, you see, Suns in four. Suns in four. All right, and so just insult to the injury. And so several lessons here. Number one. You throw a cheap shot like that, you got a beating coming.
Yeah.
So nobody felt sorry for that guy. No, but right? He goes in the
totally.
Cheap shot, throws
yeah.
a punch. And he's the and if you see these fights, and I'm not look, nobody wants to see a fight at the stadiums, but we do, at the arenas and everything else. Guy at the higher ground usually has a huge advantage there.
Yeah.
Not in this case. The delivery, I feel like the guy in the Suns jersey may have played hockey at one point for his ability to hold on to the jersey.
Right-handed punches.
He looks like he's fighting on the ice right there. He leans over there, and boom, right there. So, but he became maybe the most popular meme, because then what happened? Suns in four. And you had everyone tweeting out Suns in four after that.
Tough L for those
right.
two guys.
That yeah. wasn't, they,
losing
right.
from the
and
high
look
ground.
At them,
right.
Then they have to like,
and then they
like,
run away,
off, pulling their pants
pull up their pants,
up.
Run
I mean,
away.
That's how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. Right?
Suns and four guy stays there,
Obi-Wan
soaks
had
it
the higher
up.
Ground.
He's getting drinks thrown at him and everything else, but really he's the winner, and so are the Phoenix Suns. So,
I like that he's got a Steve Nash jersey on
right.
too.
All of it. There was a lot that was the most watched video over the weekend on Twitter. Enjoy Suns in four guy.
I just didn't know. I definitely saw that. I just didn't know how to name.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, when you do that and you do Suns in four, guess who you are? You're Suns in four guy.
Yeah. It makes complete sense
right.
now that
yeah.
you say that.
That's I don't know if that's his name, but that's what I call him. Because I think from now on you get
it's
it.
Just incredible.
Who's that guy? That's Suns in four guy.
Wails on a guy and then just looks at him and goes, Suns in four.
Suns in four. Suns in four. That's all. And then what was it?
Suns in four.
So it's just, you know, that's
Chris
it's
Paul
never, he peaked. He may never get better for this guy. And he was a good guy. And there's no good guys in a public fight like that. But if there was going to be a good guy, it was the guy that didn't deliver the cheap shot.
He might not have had the literal high ground, but he had the metaphorical high ground.
He didn't start it, but he finished it.
He was playing a road game, too.
Yeah,
you know
that's right.
I mean?
That's why he got hit with the drinks. Everything on the road, everything. Suns in four, all of it. That was for him, that 45 seconds ain't going to get better. Now, he's probably banned from that arena, but he's on the road.
They ought to give him like front row seats to the game in Phoenix.
Right, well. That's a whole other story. So I just wanted to make sure we put that out there. Sam Mellinger, I don't know that I've actually had a chance to ask you about this seriously, but I would like to hear from you about this. We don't know if Utah is going to win this series against the Clippers. The Clippers came back and made it a 2-1 series after a nice win. But I mean, clearly you remember Quinn Snyder at Mizzou. And with the way things went there and how it ended and then where he went from there, could you have imagined he'd ever get to the point that he is now where you can make an argument he's, if you're going to name a handful of candidates as the best coach in the NBA, he's one of them. He's got his team as the number one seed. He's got his team up 2-1 in the semifinals. We joke about it. We have fun with it. But I'm telling you, man, that is an un-freaking believable story of a guy failing on a pretty big stage, rebuilding himself, the MBDL, and doing the things that maybe some other guys in that situation would not have been willing to do, reinvest in yourself, pay all your dues all over again, and then rise to this level of success, no matter if they advance in the series or not. I think it's been remarkable to watch this.
It's incredible. And I love stories like this. And we've had, I think it's a lesson for a lot of people to just acknowledge that what you've been doesn't have to be what you are or what you will be.
I love that, what you just said.
And remember when he came to Mizzou, I don't have to tell you this, but I just remember the expectations, the hype. You know, I mean, he was the guy nationally, you know, that everybody wanted. And
there were some early moments, like the showdown in the second round against Duke in the tournament, and then the run to the Elite Eight. You're thinking, okay, well, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, this young, you know, people remembered him as a player. Then he started doing the halftime interviews, you know, when he was at Duke. They were trying to get him the job. And yeah, I mean, that was just a miserable failure at the end, to the point where when that happened, you couldn't help but think that he's done, right? You know, maybe he'll go do some camps or maybe he'll whatever. Nate's favorite saying, sell insurance or whatever.
Yeah, Mike, you can't hear. Are you listening?
But and I remember when he got, I was going to call it the G League, but I guess it was the MBDL back then. When he got that job, I was like, really? Now he's going to be coaching professionals? I don't know. But, you know, he slowly moved around and moved up. He got that Lakers job and, you know, went to a few different places. And you used the word rehabilitate, didn't you?
No, I said rebuild.
Rebuild.
And, yeah,
rebuild.
Reinvent yourself.
And rebuilt himself. I think professionally, probably personally in some ways, certainly the reputation. I just think it's great. And I think that we've seen a few of those here locally. You know what I mean? Like, I think of Ned Yost all the time of, you know, people can say what they want now, but, you know, he was a guy that got fired. You know, nobody had ever been fired in the middle of a pennant race. And, you know, I think when the Royals hired him, it was like, yeah, he had some experience. You know, getting that group, Prince Fielder and those guys, like, kind of close, but then they fired him. And so what are the Royals doing? But it turns out, you know, like, Ned didn't have to be the same guy. Andy Reid got fired. You know, and that ended in disaster. He had a long, very successful run.
But you wondered, like, would Quinn Snyder ever even be a head coach?
Yes.
You know.
Who would hire him? You know, after it went like that, because there's a lot of smart basketball people. You know, there's a lot of every head coach of a top 30, 50 college program. Every one of those staffs is full of smart, motivated, ambitious basketball people. And once you blow a chance like that, sometimes it can be hard to get it back. And for him to, you know, be at that low of the low at the college level and then rise to this, you know, number one seed and you know, like, look, like I'm very much of the opinion that players matter more than a lot of us sometimes think, and coaches matter less than a lot of us sometimes think. But Donovan Mitchell's ascension to, I mean, people that know that watch a lot more NBA than I do, Doris Burke. I was watching the game the other night, and Doris Burke, who I think knows as much about that league as anybody, said, "We're watching somebody go from star to superstar." Quinn Snyder's the head coach during that transformation, and he's been there. I've got his Wikipedia, like, I don't know this by heart, but he's been there for 7 years now. So, you know, he's had a huge part of that, like player development. That's what this is supposed to be about. It is absolutely incredible for him to go from where he was to where he is now.
And yes, he's turned into a superstar. Rudy Gobert is the defensive player of the year. but it's not like he went to one of these super teams that was already
built, right.
You know what I mean? Like whoever the coach is. Nothing to take away from Kerr, but you know the Warriors when Durant was there, or like the Nets now, although they might be in trouble.
Who's in the Western Conference,
right.
And it's LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis. Phoenix has got a bunch of dudes. Like the MVP is in the Western Conference at least until he gets ejected. There's a lot of that side of the NBA is loaded, and that's to navigate that. Number one seed, and they're playing to it. I mean, it's a heck of a story for him.
And his Suns in four guy will tell you, the Suns did win in four, but Nate, we were talking about this in the commercial break. What did you think of the flagrant two, that led to the ejection of the freaking MVP in a deciding game?
I thought it was stunning, and not like, look, the NBA has a well-earned reputation for treating stars differently, right? But leave that aside.
Don't
for
throw
a second.
Him out of the game.
If this was a game in February, and I'm watching that, I think that's a flagrant one. And again, like there's a lot of people that know the flagrant one, flagrant two rules a lot better than I do. It seemed like I was watching that live when it happened, and they kept talking about the windup. I'm like, does that matter now? Like,
yeah,
shouldn't it matter?
It does.
Like, more about the impact and
does
and,
anyone
he hit the
here,
ball. He hit
right? playing
he hit
the
nose.
Ball.
Does
the
anyone
ball.
Here
Stupid.
Think the MVP should have been ejected
anybody.
In a game where his team was facing elimination?
Not just the MVP, anybody.
Well, I'm just
makes
telling
that
you
play.
That situation from last right. night. Does anyone agree with that?
I don't think Cameron Payne thought Jokic should.
Like, Nate, when you watch, like, go good, that'll show him.
I was not rooting for the Nuggets. I thought it was absurd.
You know what that did? That made me turn the game. Well, that's over now.
Yep.
And by the way,
not that they would have come back, but
stupid.
By the way,
they weren't.
You know, everybody that has had all their fun at the expense of LeBron for the poke in the eye that,
yeah.
that he made the big deal out of. Tell me there wasn't a little bit of a meal made out of that one. You know, I mean, and by the way, if you don't like players flopping and exaggerating and embellishing situations like that, then maybe you've gone too far throwing people out of games for something like that. Obviously, it got too far going the other way where guys were being put in serious harm's way by some of the hard fouls they were committing and stuff, and so they felt like they had to crack down on some of those things. But, you know, if you don't like that part of the game where players flop and try to exaggerate things like that, then don't reward it. And that was they rewarded it there. That guy was fine.
I hated it.
Right.
Because he hit the ball. He hit the ball right in the middle of the ball. I think he grazed.
His shoulder caught him in the face a little bit.
It was certainly a foul. And it was a hard enough foul that I can get behind a flagrant one if you want to do it like that. But just straight up ejection. and again, I get the situation and that should be talked about. But if I'm watching that game in the middle of the season in February or whatever, I think that's a ridiculous ejection.
I will say, bottom line, that Nuggets team was not going to win that series.
For sure.
And Chris
they
Paul
got outplayed.
I'm rooting like hell. I think he's the guy that I'm rooting for more than anybody in this postseason now, just to see him get a chance to make a run. He's been in the league since 2005.
Who am I rooting for more? Maybe him or Quinn Snyder. One of those two. That's what I'm rooting for. But they're playing against each other. What do I do?
Yeah.
Some good storylines there.
You want to see a flagrant two, go look at Suns and Four guy. That was a definitely that should have led to an ejection.
Yeah.
That was a something. We will and also before we break, I asked you guys last week after the Nets went up 2-0, is this series over? And you both said yes.
Well, I didn't know Kyrie was gonna get hurt.
Well, they lost game three.
That game was one of the worst NBA playoff games I've ever watched.
Wow.
That game, no one could shoot.
Yeah.
And by the way, did Kevin Durant score a point in the fourth quarter yesterday? I don't believe
so. Yesterday's
did.
Game, he said, is one of the worst ones.
No,
game
the one three. On, was that Friday?
Game three, they had, like, he scored like eight straight points.
Yeah, he did. But
and
they,
Middleton
but,
answered.
Yeah, but
two
that
big
was
shots,
like, but most of that game, nobody could score. I mean, what were the game? Did it end up? Did they get out of the 80s?
No, it was like 86-83.
86-83.
Brutal.
But it's the first time all year that the Nets have gone back to back games without scoring 100 points.
That's two games apiece now. Suns and the Nuggets are over. 76ers are up 2-1 on the Hawks. And the Jazz are up 2-1 over the Clippers. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Sam Mellinger about the Kansas City Royals and the young pitcher struggling. And the Royals right now struggling mightily again. First they were contenders, then they weren't, then they were, now they're not again. I don't know. It's hard to follow along. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate you. You've heard me talking about the Art of Sports, and when you go into the Art of Sports over at Town Center Plaza and you buy any frame piece, they will donate 10% of the purchase to Sharewaves and the upcoming Blasters KC charity event that's going to be on June 20, was it the June 26th, 7th? June 27th, you're my man, out at the Top Golf, 5 to 10 p.m., blasterskc.com. But if you need to get a gift for a friend or relative and have no idea what to get, especially for Father's Day come up, your problems are solved. Go to the Art of Sports, Town Center Plaza. Fast-growing sports card market gets an upscale remix in their gallery, which features not only sports cards and hobby boxes, framed jerseys, memorabilia. Get trade cards, have fun at the Art of Sports, an extensive array of high-quality sports-themed art and photography. The Art of Sports and Sports Radio 810 teaming up to give away one of their exclusive framed Chiefs memorabilia. You listen all week and see how you can win. This is what we're going to do. Every day we're going to register a couple of people a day and then have a drawing for our grand prize winner for Father's Day on Friday. It's your one-stop Father's Day gift shop. The caller number 8-913-3810-810, 913-3810-810 will be registered to win a grand prize winner of a great Father's Day gift. Framed Chiefs memorabilia, an exclusive item from the Art of Sports. We will draw on Friday. You get registered right now, 913-3810-810.
Call now, call now.
Call now.
Think they have a Le'Veon Bell picture I can get?
I don't think they do.
No, okay.
I mean, you could get one.
Right.
I don't think they have one they're displaying. They have an archive. You can go in there. And
but if I wanted one, I'd
weird,
go get one.
It would be an unbelievably weird request.
But I'm a weird guy.
Before we get into Le'Veon Bell, he's already soaked up too many minutes from this show. We had a topic earlier that I thought was interesting. And I'm not, I could go either way on this thing, right? Because I just want to see the kid pitch well. But you saw they gave Daniel Lynch 3 starts. And they sent him back down, as Nate pointed out, a little different because he had never pitched above high A ball. Kowar has had experience at double A, has had experience 6 starts at triple A. But man, these 2 starts have been difficult to watch.
Terrible.
No matter how much of a Royals fan or Kowar fan and how optimistic you want to be, it's like you're watching like, oh, take him out. This is, you know, he's gonna lose it. And so how long would your leash be with Jackson Kowar?
I mean, I feel bad. Like, I want to give you an answer that's not, I want to see the next start and then go from there.
They wouldn't give me an answer either. So
yeah, but I mean, I think that it depends how bad the next start is.
What if it's that again? Doesn't get through 2 innings. He has no command in or out of the strike zone.
Yeah, I think you might have to make a decision at that point. It's just, there's a lot of moving parts here. Like, one is the Royals still, and people can laugh at this if they want to win and compete. And so you can't have these guys not get out of the first inning, not get out of the third inning.
Man, it kills your bullpen.
Burns through the bullpen. You know, Carlos Hernandez and Bolaños, like, they saved some stuff yesterday, you know, going deep like that. But it just, the other thing is, at what point are you being counterproductive to the kid? You know, and he's not a kid; he's 24. But
the man,
yeah. I mean, it doesn't help
major
him.
League terms.
Yeah, it doesn't help him to just come up here and if it's the same mistakes, you know, you got to fix those. And you know, they may have a deeper issue here. You know, I mean, they've got 2 top shelf pitching prospects that have come up and given them less than nothing. And
Singer's had his struggles this year as well.
Yep.
Bubich is struggling lately a little bit more also.
Yeah, I'm less worried about, like, you guys know, I've always liked Bubich more than I think probably most. I kind of So maybe I'm just looking at it through that, but I just, that's two starts. You know, overall, you look at his numbers, they're still solid.
But deeper problems, like with what are you talking about here?
What I'm talking about is that they thought that Daniel Lynch was a lot more ready than it turned out he was.
Clearly.
Is Cal Eldred on the hot seat?
I don't know if he's on the hot seat, but I think that, you know, he's probably not sleeping that well. You know what I mean?
Neither am I, to be honest with you.
I'm sleeping terribly these days.
Mm-hmm. And look, like, again, I believe that the players matter more, and it's up to these guys to, you know, fix their delivery, stop leaving pitches. You know, Kowar's got a good fastball, but it's not so good that he can leave it up and middle, because that thing's going to get hammered. You know, and it's up to Daniel Lynch to figure out his delivery and repeat the mechanics and all that. But look, I mean,
they're not firing those four guys though.
No, that's right. And there's a system, or however you want to say it, that whatever's in place at the big league level is very much 0-for-2 right now in transitioning top shelf pitching prospects that everybody in baseball thought was ready for the big leagues, and they're not. And they got to figure out that problem. I mean, that's an obvious thing. That's not controversial at all, but they got to figure out what the hell's going on there.
I mean, and look, to underscore again, I'm not calling for anybody's job. I'm not qualified to sit here.
Then what are you doing?
I'm telling people this is how things typically go. I've been around Major League Baseball long enough. Mm-hmm. I've watched enough of these seasons play out and teams play out. And
you know what time it is.
That's right. And you guys do too. What happened when the Royals had a whole bunch of position players that were supposed to be studs and they came up and they struggled for an extended period of time? Did they cut all those players, or did they fire the hitting coach?
Again, it would be such a bold move to cut a whole bunch of prospects.
That's just not how it goes. And somebody in the organization clearly believes those guys, somebody who's important enough to make decisions, believes those guys were ready to get called up.
Yeah.
And so it's... I'm not saying anything Cal Eldred himself doesn't know.
Sure.
He knows the nature of the position.
You know what this team needs? This team needs Mondesi.
They are not hitting, by the way. I mean,
you remember when that was precautionary? Then they took him out of a game, and
he's making progress.
He's been taking batting practice.
Is he available to pinch hit?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny. I said, do you remember when it was precautionary and he was going to miss a game? Or, I mean, can someone? I know I'm taking away from the pitchers, but what is going on? Will you explain this?
Why?
To me?
At the risk of...
No, I'm not getting a whole bag. I get Sam once a week. I got to know what's going on here.
I thought we agreed.
Then I backed out of the agreement, didn't I?
Definitely.
What's going on here?
I think there's been...
when you answer
this. I've told you guys this before, but...
Did you think he'd be out this long this time?
No, and they didn't either. If you look at how the Royals... How Mike Matheny has talked. I know it frustrates people the way that he's saying he's making progress.
They were dangling him for 5 or 6 years. We'll see before the game.
Berry made progress every day for an entire season.
Day to day.
When that happens, what that means, what they're telling you without saying it, is that they think that he's either ready or a lot closer to ready than he does. That's what they're saying without saying it. You know what I mean? So either there's something going on with him physically, the Eric Berry thing, the comparison's kind of too easy to make, but it fits. Eric Berry had accomplished a lot more before.
Right,
but
before
just specifically
you say that,
about the injury.
The comparison pisses me off, the description, but because Eric Berry was a 5-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team All Pro, NFL Comeback Player of the Year, 2010's All Decade Team.
He's a boss.
Sniff something close to that you mention him in the
Eric
same sentence as Eric Berry.
Eric Berry is an absolute boss. So let's agree.
Someone sent me a message. Modest equals Eric Berry. Like, in no way does he equal Eric Berry. Sorry.
No, but if he did, that would be great. But just specifically about these injuries, it's a comparison that I think is valid. Because the Chiefs thought that Eric Berry was ready a long time before he did. The Royals I'm just telling you, they're telling us without telling us. They think that Mondesi has some stuff that he can either play through or he's ready.
They wasted a roster spot for a whole week, yes. And they kept going through. Okay, yes. Well, we're going to have him run before the game. You know, he's close. Like, yeah. No, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he's either got to figure out how to play at 90% or 80 or whatever.
So what do you think? So you think that they're he's running or doing something? They're taking a look at him, and you think that he's saying no, I'm not going to play. Yes.
I think that's what's happening. I think he's telling them that. And look, like,
so you don't
that
think they're being overprotective? Oh, you know what? We saw a little.
No, because I think if they were being overprotective, they put him on the IL a lot sooner than they did. I think they handle it a lot differently. And look, like, I haven't asked these questions specifically to, you know, Nick Kenny or anybody else. So this is me reading between the lines and being informed of, and my reading between the lines here is being informed by things I've heard said about him. You know, that this has been a long time that people have said he's got to know the difference between injured and hurt and all these things. And look, like, it doesn't mean that he's soft or whatever. Like,
what's it mean?
An athlete has to know his body. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got something in him that he doesn't think he can perform.
But look.
Is he close? Like, honestly, where are we at now? What have they said now?
He's getting better. He's taking BP, right?
Progress.
I have to push back a little bit.
Push back.
It seems like what you just listed was almost like the definition of soft.
But that's physical. I think there's a difference between physical. And look, he may qualify for this version of soft as well. To me, soft is like just being afraid in the competition and backing down mentally. That to me is more soft than, because if he's really got something, then I don't know. that to me is not soft.
Yeah.
But again, I want to be clear about this. My version of soft is mental, and it's can you handle pressure and those things. It's not physical as much, especially in baseball. It's more mental, and he may be soft that way.
Based
but
on
what I'm
his,
talking about, just physically, no.
Based on the look on his face, boy, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm a little concerned. No, you can't do that.
I'm so tired of it.
What? You can't be.
I know.
Because it's a big part of the, and now he's gone again, and they're losing 8-9.
No.
And it affects everything.
Maybe
and they sat and waited with the roster, down a man on the roster.
It's baffling.
Every night he's going to come back.
It's utterly baffling. It's baffling.
He plays baseball. Or
no,
they say
I'm
we're
not
moving
saying
on.
Stop talking about it. That's not what I'm saying, because it does need to be discussed. But it's just, it makes zero sense from where they were at, how the first injury happened and nobody knew about it. They weren't even really sure how the second one happened. And then it lingered on for 5 days where they wasted a roster spot and he was available to pinch hit. He was. I mean, they said that. And now he's IL, and now we don't have any idea, and he's getting better. And it's just, all of it put together makes zero sense to me.
I would say the available to pinch hit thing, I don't know if that's true. I know what they say, but
okay.
I think sometimes they just, you know what I mean?
Like, I
sometimes
agree. They just right, say, right. Like, no, I get it.
Yeah, there's like
there's a competitive advantage.
It wasn't bad enough to where they examine him up right to the IL.
Right,
exactly.
They let it go for 5 days.
That's
we
what,
think
like,
exactly.
He clearly wasn't available to pinch hit, right?
Yeah. No,
he
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's a competitive advantage there, like, you know, the other
it.
Manager, whatever.
I get it.
But I mean, they can't. The problem, like, this is all exacerbated by the fact that he's a shortstop, and you just can't. If it's an outfielder, you got somebody on the team that can play that outfield spot and fill in or whatever. If it's a second baseman, you've got somebody that can do that job. But when it's a shortstop, they clearly. Those two guys, I mean, they're doing the best they can. Hanser Abildo and Nicky Lopez, but those are not big league shortstops, and so the level of quality of the team just drops so significantly when he's not in the lineup. And look, maybe that's part of why they're hanging on. You know, like look, if it's 5 days, we can go without him, but at the end of 5 days, we think you know it might be able to work. Maybe that's part of why they're. Doing or handling it the way they are, but it's just this is untenable, like unsustainable, I should say. This cannot continue. They need to get somebody on the roster that can play shortstop if they don't believe that Mondesi can be reliable. And I'm not saying like a replacement for Mondesi to bench him or whatever, but they just can't, they can't be in the situation where
they're in limbo, just waiting for him constantly. And you got guys out there that can't hit enough to justify playing every day, but they're having to play every day because Mondesi is not available. And then,
you know what I want?
Domino effect.
I love watching that guy play baseball. I love watching him play baseball. It sucks.
Well, I'd love to watch him play baseball.
Yes, we all would. But it's just like that's the double frustrating part, right?
This may be the dumbest thing.
I don't get doubly frustrated.
What are you going to say?
But the double frustrating part is.
What if they played him at second base?
Fine.
What if they brought up, do they have a top shelf prospect currently hitting home runs every day?
Yeah, lots of them.
That might be able to play shortstop.
I get shouted down every time I bring up Bobby Witts. I'm done. No, I'm not.
I just wonder if long-term...
If I want to.
Because his injuries, correct me if I'm wrong, the oblique he woke up with, but the hamstring, we think, was...
What'd you say?
The oblique.
Yeah.
He woke up and it was... Yeah, so he can't sleep anymore.
Sucks.
Anyway. But his injury seemed, it's when he's playing defense. So I don't know. Maybe the solution is to give him a less stressful defensive position.
Some people have said center field.
Sure.
And let me, if you want to look at struggling, go see what Michael A. Taylor has been doing at the plate over the past month or so.
But that goes back to your point. It's not a dependent position. If you have him playing center field, then that's a guy you can fill in for. If you have him playing second base, that's a guy you have people
right
that can
now,
play that
you
spot.
Have
no shortstop.
Below average offensive production at third base, at shortstop, and at center field. I got some solutions if you want to listen to me.
Sustainable. It is not sustainable, and that's why we're seeing.
And look, Gutierrez
struggle.
Has had a good week, and he's been good defensively.
He's
but,
making some plays.
You know,
but
I mean,
you can only have
Nicky
one of those guys
just,
in the lineup. Nicky, you can only have one.
Yeah, right.
Not they, three.
And I'm one. And Michael A. Taylor, he had some early season highlights. Again, I invite you, look at what he's doing recently. He's showing
brutal.
You why the Nationals didn't consider him an everyday player. He's being overexposed right now, right?
And some of these are bad plate appearances. Like he's getting like 94 blown by him, you know, not on the black. You know what I mean? Like,
let's not pretend that Mondesi is immune to those stretches as well offensively.
Of course.
I'm just throwing that out there, too. Sorry.
He's not, but he's a better offensive player than the three guys that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Mondesi will, he'll have a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks where he can carry you. He'll have 2, 3, 4 weeks where he might bury you. But, he does have these peaks
like that,
in him. So it's just, it is a frustrating situation, I think, for everybody involved. You know, the player, and I made this point, I think, last week about Mondesi's. I think there was some hope that now you're really playing for money. You're in these arbitration years, and maybe this is when those things start to click a little bit. Because I can tell you that arbitration hearing, if they don't settle, it's going to be a brutal listen.
Wouldn't you like to be
him.
There for that?
Yes.
Just to sit in on
that's
that
going to be a brutal listen for Mondi because they are going to talk a lot about how he's played seven out of the first 70 games or whatever. But you say that, and Dayton's track record on that is pretty clear. So I completely understand what you're saying, but I think there's a gap. You know, I mean, they've talked about they want to sign him to a long-term extension. People don't want to hear that. But during the spring, or the winter, I guess I should say, they approached him about a long-term extension, and he didn't want to do it. So,
is this change that you think from their perspective,
and probably his too?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like maybe I should have taken.
But that
money.
Price is that price is coming down.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yep.
So, we had this conversation last week, and some you know the guy that got mad on Twitter thought we were getting too personal when we were questioning Mondesi's desire, you know, to be out there and all that. Here's why that matters, because I've heard some people say, well, who cares? The bottom line is he's either on the field or he's not, so who cares why? Well, I think it's imperative to know why, because if like what Mike Matheny says is true, that nobody wants to be out there more than Mondesi himself wants to be out there, and this is really eating at him and driving him insane because he's this incredibly driven competitor that loves the game of baseball so much and lives to be on the field like Alcides Escobar and Salvador Perez have proven to be, then you can have some optimism. He's going to do everything he possibly can to overcome this situation and become a player that they can count on at some point in his career. if he doesn't have that burning desire, they need to cut bait at some point. Because he's not going to change. He's not going to do whatever he can to overcome this stuff. He's not going to learn, if it's true what you said, you know, learn, it's about him learning what he can play with and what he can't. And I just wonder if the team doesn't seem to have a blind spot here, or they know him better than I do. They know him better than any of us. But man, all the stuff I've heard from everybody that that built this championship organization, your best guy has to be your best guy.
Yeah.
We want guys who love the game of baseball, who can't get enough playing baseball. And I just, the stuff that you tell me, the stuff that I hear, doesn't paint the picture of one of those guys, yet they treat him like one of those guys. Does that, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, they've over promoted him. You know, he won that job out of spring training. Was that 16 or 17, whatever that year was, and when they sent Witt down, and that was a mistake. You know, he didn't earn that job. I'll tell you this, what Mike Matheny, when he says that there's nobody who's more frustrated than Mondi, I don't believe that, and I don't think he does either. I think that's
nobody
what
believes
the
manager.
Royals' blind spot is as bad as when LeBron got poked in the eye. That kind of blind spot.
So they're seeing three Mondesis.
Sorry, they're all over the place.
They're seeing three Mondesis. But it's almost like they're blinded by his physical tools. I don't. Maybe they're
they want it so bad for him,
Jake.
And I think they want it. Sometimes it appears they want it worse than he does.
Jake is so bitterly disappointed we didn't have you weigh in on Le'Veon Bell in his Twitter.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that collectively, mm-hmm. Kansas City and Chiefs fans, and I don't know, outside of, you know, sort of the Chiefs stratosphere, whatever, how that was taken, I think that a lot of people spent a lot, you know, more time on it than it deserved. Le'Veon Bell was not a good football player. like, remember how excited Le'Veon Bell was to get to Kansas City and to play for Andy Reid. He talked about that specifically. Turns out he wasn't that good. And it turns out that they had other ways that they wanted to go about it. And then, and you know what? Like, it's not like he went to the Bucks, right? Like, it's not like he's like lit the world on fire. Like, it just, he's got a much higher opinion of his ability than everybody else in football, which is fine. You need to be confident, right? But like, he's not that good anymore, and he's blaming other people and whatever.
I just like the fact that he can't get a job right now because no one thinks he's that good, yet he'd rather retire than play for Andy Reid again. First of all, I don't think you have the option of playing for Andy Reid again.
No, that's exactly right.
Second of all, I think there's a whole bunch of coaches that come from the Andy Reid tree that aren't going to hire you either. Third of all, you don't have to threaten to retire because you might just have to.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he may not be choosing to retire.
Right, you whether know? You play for Andy Reid or not.
And that would be true. All that stuff that you said is true, but it's just a bad idea for somebody at that level. In the end, look, he's set financially, so maybe he doesn't care.
Right.
But just as far as employability, somebody at that level of employability to badmouth the worst coach is probably a bad idea. But to badmouth that guy specifically with what he's accomplished, his reputation, coaching offense, and like you said, all the league is full of Andy Reid assistants. It's just, you know, a bad business move. But again, guy's got a lot of money, so maybe he doesn't care.
And we'll look forward to your column this week, why MLB Instant Replay is the best thing in sports. Yeah. I can't wait to read that. That is Sam Ellinger.
I think that's a terrible idea.
Right, because they don't get it right. This foot was off the bag yesterday, and the replay official put his head in the sand. But they're not. The best part is they're not accountable, so we don't know whatever they
are. I get it. You're being sarcastic.
It's fun. Back after this with Todd Lebo on Sports Radio 810 WHB.